faithful. Hallelujah. He is wonderful, isn't he? Amen. Oh, that's a little better, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I'm excited today about his word. I want you to stand and turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're going to start back there because we have new people coming in all the time. And I know you may say, well, this is really redundant, but this is so important. This is so important in the Christian life. If you're going to live out of victory, you need to understand spirit, soul, body. You've got to understand spirit, soul, body if you're going to live out of victory. So vitally important, because most people don't understand this in the Christian life. They have not a concept of this, and they really get confused. They get discouraged. They just don't find that hope in God that is what they don't understand is already within them. And so they don't know how to see that manifested. So I want you to turn. Let's read this together. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you what? Completely, and may your what? Whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put up the next verse. I like 24 as well. He who calls you is faithful. Whoa! He who calls you is what? Faithful. That's our God, amen. Who is also will what? We'll perform it. We'll do it. Amen. Hold up your Bible this morning. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, God's got you. Amen. He does. He loves you today. Praise the Lord. So we understand from this scripture that we are not just made up of two parts. We're not just soul and body, like so many people teach, and that, you know, we're winning souls and all these things. But really what we are made up of, we are spirit. You are spirit. Your spirit is eternal. Your spirit, once you receive Christ by faith, is totally renewed, totally changed, all things new in your spirit, man. In fact, Christ has deposited in your spirit everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's already deposited there in your spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, that excites me to know that. Everything I have need of is already within me. Wow. In Christ Jesus. Then we have a soul, which is our what? Mind, will, and emotions, right? We talked about feelings last week that move us to certain things. So we are compromised of that. We have a soul, and then we have a body. And so we understand that we are made in the image of the Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen? He was three parts. We are three parts in one. This is who we are. That's who he is. Praise the Lord. He is so good. And when we believe on the Lord, our spirit becomes perfect, sanctified, holy, filled with God's love, filled with God's peace, filled with healing, whole, sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. Man, that is good news. All by grace. We receive it by grace, God's unmerited favor into our lives. That is tremendous news. Amen? Our soul is being transformed as we get into the Word and we line our thinking up with the Word. All of a sudden, our soul becomes transformed and we think like we didn't used to think. Amen? We respond like we didn't used to respond. Amen? So, and then we have our body, and our body's kind of neutral. It just goes along with what your soul says for it to do. Whatever the soul thinks, that's what the body responds to and acts upon. But there's another area that I want to talk to you about this morning, that body, soul, and spirit are so important. But I feel like this area that I want to speak to you this morning is even more, I don't want to say more vitally important, because it's all important to have a revelation on. But we don't hear a lot of it addressed because a lot of people don't know how to address it. And it's in the Bible much more than soul, much more than spirit, and probably much more than body. And that's called your heart. And a lot of people don't know how to address the heart thing because they don't really know what the heart is or where the heart is located. I believe your heart is the center of man, and it's located between your soul and spirit. That's where your heart is located. And God wants us to understand this heart thing because it's vitally important. The Bible talks about it so much. I want you to just turn for just a moment to Proverbs 4:23. It's the place of your action and decision of life. That's where your heart is. It's the place of your actions and decisions of life. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with what? All diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Turn to somebody and say, some people have more issues than others. Right? A lot of people have issues. Some of you are dealing with issues. And the reason you're dealing with issues is because it's a heart thing. Your heart is so vitally important to understand and to know how to have a heart that is open to change and open to receive. Look at Proverbs. Can we put this up in the New Living Testament, Proverbs 4:23 in the NLT? Can you do that? Wow. 4:23, same verse in the NLT. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines what? The course of your life. Man, that is powerful. It determines the onset and the course of your life. So he said, guard that heart because it determines your course in life. How does it get into your heart? How does something determine your course of life? Well, it's very simple. It gets into your heart by believing certain things for a long time. By believing and speaking certain things, good or bad, will get into your heart and determine your life. Will determine your walk. Will determine who you really are. Will determine the outcome of your life. Let me tell you something. People are not born prejudiced. No baby is ever born saying, I don't like the Mexicans. I don't like the black folk. I don't like the white folk. No baby's ever born that way. They are raised and trained, and it becomes a heart thing. It's in their heart, and it produces actions in life. And as they walk through life, they see someone and automatically have a predetermined judgment of who they are, what they're going to be, and what kind of person they are. Because it was taught to them, they believed it, they said it, and it became an issue in their heart. And there are people who are even born again who have not dealt with that issue in their heart, and they need to let God deal with it. Turn to somebody and say, is he preaching to you this morning? Wow, no one is born that way. Believing is not just a head thing. You can have a mental assent to it, but your heart may not be there. Y'all hear what I'm saying? This is some good stuff. You can have a mental assent, but your heart is far from it. Right? I'm going to show you in just a minute. Look at Romans 10:8-10. We know this scripture. We love this scripture. Great scripture. We use this scripture a lot. Actually, I think it's a basis for everything that we receive from the Lord is in these few scriptures right here when we come to our understanding of salvation and Zoe life. And I tell you, God wants you to live a Zoe life. God does not want you to have issues. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying. God's grace doesn't want you to have issues in your life. God's grace has been provided to set you free, not to tie you up. God has set you free. Turn to somebody and say, God has set you free. So be free. Don't get hung up. And most of the time, I always thought for years, it's a head thing. Really, it's a heart thing. It starts in your head, but goes to your heart. And unless you have a heart change, you're going to remain the same way actions in your life. You got to have a heart change. Turn to somebody and say, you need a heart transplant. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Hallelujah. But what does it say? The word is near you. Where? In your mouth and where else? In your what? In your heart. The word has got to be saturated in your mouth and in your heart. You've got to soak that word into your heart to develop a heart that's pliable, a heart that's teachable, a heart that says, you know what? I am going to change because this is what God said, and it's just going to be an effortless thing for me to do because the word gives you the power and the empowerment and the Holy Spirit and grace in your life to take that issue and make it a no longer issue for you. Wow. That is what? Not the word of sight, not the word of emotions, not the word of feelings, not the word of seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, but the word of faith. Amen. Go on. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? Where do you believe? So change really takes place in our heart. Our spirit is instantly born again. Our change for our lives and our actions of our lives takes place when we agree in our heart and our mind and our mouth with what the Spirit says, and change takes place effortlessly. God wants to give you Zoe life. What is Zoe life? God life. Here on earth, God says, I want you to see good days. Amen. Not evil days, but good days. I want to satisfy you with long life. Amen. I want to show you my salvation. Praise God. That's what he says he wants to do. That God raised him up from the dead, and you will be what? You will be saved. Heart transplants taking place. Change taking place. But you know you can have unbelief and belief in the same place? You can. Jesus asked a man, do you believe? He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You can have belief working and unbelief in your heart at the same time. God wants you to have nothing but belief. You all still with me? So the word's got to be in two places. It's got to be in your mouth and in your heart. And if you're struggling in a certain area to experience the manifestation of God life in your life, it's usually in the area of the heart, because the heart in that area has become hardened or set in a pattern of thinking that is opposed to God's word. And folks, many of us are raised in these areas of our life that we really haven't allowed God to totally deal with because we like it. That's the way I like it. I love that bass this morning. Holly said, I didn't hear that bass. And she said, I was just telling her, man, that bass was so awesome. I was telling her that on the way home. It was so good. She said, I didn't really hear it. And then she turned to me and she said, you know why, honey? Because you're a musician. And you've been trained to hear certain things. And I said, yeah, I am. You know why? Because it's been established in my heart. That's like people that have a hard time, memorizing the scripture, the word. Now, they can give you baseball stats. Come on, somebody. They can give you football stats. They can tell you who the top five golfers are in the world. They can tell you who won last night's ball game. They can tell you how many points they scored. But when it comes to memorizing the word, I just have a hard time doing that. You know why? Because your heart's not there. What did Jesus say about the heart? Where your treasure is, where your heart is, your what? Treasure will be what? Where your what? Where your heart is, your what? Treasure will be there also. Well, it's amazing what we put our hearts on, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with having fun. I like to have fun more than anybody else. Fun is good. Turn to somebody and say, fun is good. God, I believe Jesus was fun to hang with. Why? Because he hangs with me every day and we have fun. He is fun. He is not boring. He is fun, full of life. Amen. And here's listen to this. Proverbs 23:7. You know this verse of scripture. Listen to this. Proverbs 23:7. What does he say? Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks where? So as he thinks where? In his head? Do you know that you can think in your heart? In your heart, thinking takes place. I'm going to show you this in another verse. Thinking really takes place, a lot of it, in your heart. As you think in your heart, what are you? Wow. You see, a lot of people don't have a head problem. Well, some of them do, but they have a heart problem. It's really a heart issue. So why? Because their heart has become hardened in certain areas of their life, and they say, that's who I am. I'm not going to change. And they've determined that in their life. Even Christians can have a hard heart. Even grace Christians. Hello? Even people who believe all of this can still have areas of their life that they've not allowed the Holy Spirit. Hello? Are you hearing me? So their hearts become hard in certain areas of their life, and they can't seem to change or have adapted to a lifestyle that's contrary to all that God has for them. I don't know about you, but I want everything God has for me. I don't want my heart or any area of my heart or any area of my life to do anything but have what God has for me. I receive it. Amen. I thank God for it. I want to walk free. How about you? No, how about you? Anybody want to walk free today? Anybody want to experience everything God has for them? Amen. I know you do. I believe you do. I do. Praise God. Have we blown it at times? Yes. Thank God for grace. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. But David blew it. And the Bible says David had a heart after God. You know, In Psalm 51, we see David repenting after Nathan came to him and pointed his finger and says, you are the man. David said, whoa! He was out there looking at Bathsheba. God has a sense of humor, see? She was taking a bath, and God, her name was Bathsheba. I was wondering if her name, if she was drinking a Starbucks, if her name would have been Starbucks Sheba. If she was eating a donut, I was wondering if her name would be Donut Sheba. Or if she was eating a falafel, I was thinking, well, God, you could have called her Falafel Sheba. But no, she was taking a bath, and God called her. And David wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was hanging out, supposed to be out there fighting. He was hanging out, caught a glance of that Sheba, saw that fox, and he was smitten to his socks. Is that what Carmen used to say? Well, and then what happened, you know, Nathan came to him and said, you are the man. And in 51, we see David having a change of heart. Lord, create in me a clean spirit. Now, we don't have to pray that prayer anymore. That's an Old Testament prayer, by the way. We don't have to pray that anymore, right? We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are forgiven totally. You need to believe you're forgiven totally. Because if you don't, you'll walk under condemnation and you'll keep repeating the same sin that you've been trying to overcome. Because why? Because you don't believe God's forgiven you of everything. Right? And that's where it becomes a heart issue. Because you don't believe how good God is, how wonderful he is, that he could possibly do that, but he did. Woo! And that's the good news of the gospel. Every sin you ever committed today, tomorrow, or yesterday has already been forgiven. Only thing you need to do is believe it, respond to it, act on it, amen, and allow God to change your heart to the point that you so believe it, amen, that lifestyle begins to change. Because grace didn't teach us what? To sin. Grace teaches us to what? deny ungodliness, right? But there he was. So he had a, and they, God, but God called him a man after his own heart. God was seeing the grace area of life to David. Isn't that awesome? Amen. So believing is not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. Y'all still here this morning? Look at Matthew 15, 8 through 21. The Pharisees, you know, came to Jesus and accused the disciples. You know, they had so many laws, so many customs, laws upon laws to prevent them from breaking the law, like a lot of churches today. So laws upon laws from preventing them to break the law. And and they saw the disciples, they were eating without washing their hands. Oh my gosh! They were eating without washing their hands. Jesus, what are you going to do with these filthy disciples? They're not worthy to be, you know. So the Pharisees approached Jesus. Look at Matthew 15, 8 through 21. These people draw near to me with their, and they honor me with their, but their hearts are far. Man, I don't want to be that type of person. I want to honor him with my mouth, my lips, and my heart. Hello? That's religious people. That's who he's talking about. Religious people do that. Religious people make me nervous. They do. It's like, I don't want to be around them. I'm telling you, man, there's something about religious folks that will scare you. Put fear in your life. Grace people put love in your life. Amen. They're easy to get along with. They're pliable. Amen. Because they understand what's been given to them. Amen. They understand that and they can give it to others. Thank you for your enthusiasm there, right? But their heart, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Wow. When he had called the multitude himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles him. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? How do you spot a religious person? Write this down. Number one, they get offended very easy. How do you spot a person of grace? They're not offended. They just walk in love. They must have been talking about somebody else, not me. They have a high opinion of who they are in Christ. They know who they are, and they know how much God loves them. It doesn't matter if the whole world's talking about them. They're just walking in love and God's grace. Amen. But boy, a religious person, first thing they do is they get offended, especially when it comes to doctrine. Especially when it comes to teaching of grace. Turn to somebody and say, he's really teaching good to you right now. Would you do that? Come on, turn to somebody and say, he's really teaching good to you right now. All right. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Wow. I could go into that for years, but I'm not going to. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Wow. Man. Thank you, Lord. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us, Lord. Can somebody say, duh? So Jesus, are you all still without understanding? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, duh. He said, are you without understanding? Come on, guys, get it together here, right? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? That's pretty easy. Turn to somebody and say, that's not, you can understand that, right? You got that, right? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Come from the heart. And then he lists these things. For out of the heart, out of this heart, this heart that's not allowed the change to receive it in their life, comes what? Proceeds evil thoughts. We think it comes out of the mind. Jesus said it comes out of the heart. I thought that, wow, man, comes out of the, evil thoughts come out of the heart. It's in your heart first to get out of your mind that you act on it. Hello? That's why people need to transform their mind so much and saturate their heart with God's word. Y'all hearing me this morning? murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, all these negative things. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Wow. Then Jesus went out and departed. Man. I want you to turn to Exodus 8. Exodus 8. In Exodus is the book of, we're going to close here in just a few minutes, but I'm going to finish on a very positive side here, so hang on. All right, I want to finish on a very positive side because I want to show you something so incredible and so beautiful about Jesus and what he's done for us. He is so good. He is so good. Exodus 8, and you know, this is the story of the Exodus, the children of Israel leaving. And God, in Exodus, in these chapters, it's mentioned 15 times that Pharaoh had a hard heart, that his heart was hardened. And I think there's one time I want to just focus on here, all right? Exodus 8 through 10. God sent the plagues, or the plagues of frogs came up. Frogs were everywhere. They're in the kitchen. They're in the oven. They're in the bedroom. They're in the beds. It was a plague of frogs. I don't like frogs. Frog legs, I like. I can eat those. Frogs, I don't like. I remember they wanted to take me out frog hunting one night in the swamp. I said, you got to be kidding. Have you lost your mind? I am so much smarter than that. I was down in Arkansas, and down in Arkansas, they've got big snakes, and I do not like snakes. And I do not like, I said, you guys go frog hunting, help yourself, bring back some frogs, cut them up, fry them, and I'll eat the legs. How's that? All right? So. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me. And this is the guy with the hardened heart. And from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. So he said, why do you want to spend one more night with the frogs? Anybody? Why do you want to spend one more minute not being changed in an area of your life when God's got it for you already? Why would you want to say, well, I'm just going to be in this situation? Maybe it was because of your upbringing. Maybe it was because of somebody said something to you. And I don't know. Maybe, it, you know, but I want to ask people, why do you not want to allow the grace of God to impact your heart in such a way that it manifests change? Why would you want to spend one more night being irritated? One more day being this way or that way? One more day saying, I can't, when God says you can? One more day of not receiving your healing when God says, by your stripes, it's already been provided. Why do you want to just stay in that situation and put it off till tomorrow? There was an old song we used to sing years ago. Dutch, you may remember this, but you're not as old as me. So don't put off until tomorrow what you may do today. Let the Lord bless your soul right now. Anybody remember that? See? Did you remember that? You are old, brother. You old, man. You old, brother. Amen. So, man, you know, let the Lord bless your soul. I thought, man, isn't that awesome? Let me show you something here. Y'all still with me this morning? Man, I could go on because, you know what? Our response to miracles even determines whether we have a hard heart or not. Somebody sees a miracle and they go, whoa! That's awesome. And it should be, wow, that's great. Praise God. Miracles should not, we should be so in tune and accustomed that it's no big deal. It's a big deal, but it's no big deal. Y'all ain't understand what I'm, did I make that sound right? It's a big deal, thank you Jesus, but it's no big deal because it's just what it's supposed to be. When I pray for somebody, it's no big deal that I prayed for them and they got healed because that's just the way it's supposed to be. Thank God they're healed, amen, and healing was released in their life. But you know what? I walk in the supernatural, amen. I'm not going to let this natural respond to me. I could show you something out of the disciples' life when they, you know, Jesus is walking on the water and they went, whoa! And Jesus said, hey, boys, they had a hard heart because don't you remember the miracle I just did feeding the 5,000? They didn't remember. They forgot. And they responded in a freaky way. Hello? Oh, well. They were shocked, amazed, and surprised at a miracle. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. Whoa, they've been toiling all night trying to get that boat across there. You know? Man, stop toiling. Somebody say, stop toiling. Ah, wow. Dictionary defines hardened as cold, insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding. Cold, insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding. God doesn't want you to be that type of person, right? Amen? Oh, I'm gonna come back on this, guys. I want to come back, but I want to go here somewhere. Hang on just a second. I've got so many more notes, and hallelujah. God, you are so good. Come on, come on. Praise the Lord. Here we go. It's over in Hebrews. I want to take you to Hebrews. Would you go to Hebrews with me? As I, man, I got a lot. Man, Lord, you gave me a lot of stuff. It's all so good. Hebrews 10, 14 through 23. Hebrews 10, 14 through 23. I love this. The Old Testament is so wrapped up in the law and serving the law and everything, even David's life, all those things were according to the law. And a lot of Jesus, what he was teaching was teaching of the law to tell people you couldn't do it in yourself. So some people read Jesus' teaching and they think, whoa, that's what I'm supposed to. No. Jesus is saying, you can't do it. That's why I did it, and that's why I came, and that's why you need me. Because you can't, and I did, and now I give you the empowerment that you can, but you can't in yourself. You got to do it in me. Y'all get that? Hebrews 10, 14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, are changing, transforming in their soul. But he's perfected you where? In your spirit. Turn to somebody and say, I'm perfect in my spirit. Woo! Isn't that awesome? Amen. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, for after he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, that after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws where? I will put my laws into their... Listen, it's already there. It's already established there. You've just got to allow that word to change it. Amen. You've got to allow that word to soak in that area of your life where you're having an issue, and allow that word. Maybe you have a complex issue, or maybe you have, you know, this issue or that issue, or maybe your husband is the issue. You can't change him. Stop trying. Hello? Only God can change people. You'll wear yourself out. Amen. Maybe your wife's the issue. Oh, his husband's going... No. Only God can change a heart. Only God, his word, can change a heart. Y'all still with me this morning? Those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their... I will write them there. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That is such freedom when you understand that. God is not condemning you. No more. Therefore, your heart is pliable, soft to change, and have the heart of God. There's no issue that God cannot deal with in your life and that you cannot overcome. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because of his grace imparted to your heart. It's there. Amen. Go on. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin, because Jesus is our offering. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a, what type of heart? A true heart, a heart that is saying, Lord, I am open to change. This has been an issue in my life. I've got a true heart. God, I am open. God, change my heart. If I have any hardness of my heart, I heard Andrew one day said, you know what I realized after many years of service, Andrew Womack, I had a hard heart. I thought, what? What's he talking about? He said, yeah, I had a hard heart. He said, I didn't realize it. There was areas in my life that I wasn't pliable to where God wanted me to be pliable at. Turn to somebody and say, you can change. No, turn to somebody and say, you can change. You can do it. How? Through Christ. Not in your own self, through Christ. Whatever issue, area of your life, God wants you whole. He's made a way, amen? Heart full of assurance of what? Man, I don't know how it's going to happen. No, it's not faith. You believe God, I am changing this area of my life. You need to get up every morning in your life and start thanking God. Look in the mirror and say, I am changing this area of life. God's grace is changing me, empowering me to change. I am no longer having that issue. I am an overcomer. I am addicted to nothing but Jesus. I am addicted to nothing but Jesus. Years ago, they had a deliverance ministry. Remember those deliverance ministries? Anybody was ever a part of deliverance ministry? Anybody went to a deliverance ministry? Anybody ever had that? There were the hunters, happy hunters. Anybody remember the happy hunters? Happy hunters, they used to come. They went to Carpenter's Home and all that. And, you know, and a lady came up one time, and she said, I have a demon. I need deliverance. And people believe in that stuff. The devil's defeated, by the way. You don't have a demon. If you're born again, you know, light and darkness can't dwell in the same place, right? So hang on with me. They had to leave, but hang on with me. Listen, someone came up and said, I need deliverance. And they said, what from? Said, I have a spirit of Cocoa Puffs. I have a spirit of Cocoa Puffs, and I'm addicted to them, and I need deliverance from them. No, it's not true. So, all right, it is true. It's a true saying, but let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with what? Pure water. Go on, let us hold fast the what? Confession, the profession of your faith, of your hope. Hold fast, the Bible says, of your profession, your confession. Confess it out of your mouth. One more verse, we're going to close. Hebrews 4:12. Let's look at this. You know this verse. I love this verse. A great verse of Scripture. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is what? Say it out loud. Living and what? Powerful. Dunamis. Praise God. Living, alive, and sharper than any two-edged sword, a sword of judgment. It's sharper than that. Amen. God's word, amen. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. It's the divider of soul and spirit, the word of God. And of joints and marrow. And is a of what? What is? The word. Jesus said, the word I speak to you are spirit and life. This word saturated into our hearts. Amen. Discerns. Man, is this grace? Am I receiving that? Is this love? It discerns. Am I addicted to that? No, listen, I can overcome that. If I got this issue, no, I can overcome that issue because his word says I can do all things. Amen. The word says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Whatever I'm facing, I can overcome because his word says that. I let that word saturate my heart. And I'm telling you, how many of you, I don't want to embarrass you at all, but before you were born again, and if you're not ashamed of it or just, you know, before you were born again, you were addicted to drugs. And don't raise your hand. And after you were born again, as soon as you were born again, you received Christ. God delivered you. Anybody like that? Anybody here? Raise your hand if you are. There's one. Anybody else? How many of you smoked and God delivered you from that? Raise your hand. Smoking won't send you to hell, make you smell like you've been there already, right? So, right? Amen. God delivered you. God How many was addicted to something else and God delivered you? Anybody? Wow. God's no respecter of persons. Amen. And you know what happened to you? You had a heart change. When you were born again, your heart changed. My wife gives me her testimony, tells me about her heart changed. She used to go out and smoke reefer with the guys with her professors at school in college. Holly did. She was a pothead. So, well, sort of, kind of. She don't mind me telling you that because, you know, she shared that. I love you, Holly. Grace. Well, she wasn't really a whole pothead, but, you know, she was. But God delivered her from that. You love me, don't you, honey? Amen. Praise God. She would get up and tell you that in a testimony. But God delivered her from that. And she's told me so many times, she said, honey, God so delivered because I had a heart change. And I wouldn't do anything to embarrass you. Hopefully I didn't. So it's a heart change. It's all good. God has a heart change for you. Stand this morning. Praise God. Amen. Hey, she doesn't smoke pot anymore. I can testify that. She's high on Jesus. And she doesn't even smoke. Not anymore. She used to do that too. I just won't tell you all this stuff, babe. Amen. I'll testify for you. So she can get up and testify for me, and I'd go like, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. Amen. Praise God. But God's faithful. That's what I want to come to. God is faithful, and he loves you, and he loves your heart. He loves your heart just the way it is right now. And God's given grace for you to change. Grace says you don't have to stay the same. Grace says you can change. Hallelujah. And some of you grew up and you weren't addicted to anything but Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Amen. You were raised in a godly home and your parents just taught you right. It's awesome. Praise God. And Andrew, I mean, raised all of his life. Kay raised all of her life in a home surrounded by Jesus. Wasn't always perfect, but it was always good. Amen. Praise God. Today, you know, there may be areas in your life that you have some issues and things, but I'm telling you, God still loves you with your issues. I still love you with your issues. Amen. It doesn't matter to me. Somebody say, well, what if homosexuals came to your church? I say, bring them on. What if lesbians came in? I say, we've had them before. Bring them on. They need to hear the word of grace. It's freeing. It's full of God's love. We don't reject people. The gospel doesn't reject people. A church is not full of saints, it's full of messed up people. Saints in your spirit, but a lot of them just messed up people. Hello? And God loves messed up people. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad? Amen. Man, you walk in some religious places and if you're divorced, you can't serve there. If you're living with somebody, forget about it. I've had people come into our church and they've been living with somebody. What do? I go up and say, hey, you don't need to live with that person. No, I'd allow grace and the Holy Spirit to work in their life. And pretty soon they were coming to me and saying, hey, pastor, you know what? We'd like to get married. Grace works miracles, baby. You get in there, you mess it up. Grace works miracles. Raise your hands today. I want you to confess with your mouth. Thank you, Lord. My heart is free. My heart is changed. Because of grace. I walk in grace. I receive grace. You're written on my heart and in my mind. Thank you, Lord, I'm an overcomer today. I overcome by your love for me. It's unconditional. Lord, I thank you for empowering me today. Changing my life. I am no longer what I used to be. I may not be perfect in my soul, but I've left the station. I'm on my journey. I'm on my way. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Your word purifies me. And I thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, I'm victorious. Amen and amen. Woo! Praise God. Turn to somebody this morning and say, I am free. How about you? Come on, amen.
He's the one.